get my parking case and move around there. Probably won't. Might. We invite you to turn with us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I've been doing this for about 34 years. And I still suffer from the same thing I suffered in high school. I took a failing grade in English on one subject because I refused to get up in front of the class and give an exposition. Always did bother me, still does. Never will get over that, I don't guess. But I think more than anything, it's God's Word. Brother Downs was talking about the Word of God. It is so precious. And it's a great responsibility to handle the Word of God. You better examine yourself and make sure you're standing for the truth. Because God will call you into account if you are not. So it's an awesome thing. We want to thank the church, pastor, for inviting us to come back and be a part of their conference again this year. Thank you for the beautiful place you gave us a stay last night, very comfortable room there at the motel, and the folks there was very accommodating. The breakfast this morning, that's one of my favorite meals. I have to cut back a little bit on breakfast some. But I thought if that breakfast was any indication of what dinner's going to be like, I may cut this message back to an hour so we can get there a little sooner. I do compliment the church on the way you've handled the conference so far. It's a big responsibility, a lot of work. We know that. I can't say as much right along. He put me on last. He tries to tell me now, don't worry. We're going to eat. It's not me that's worrying. I'm worried about y'all. I hate to stand between Baptists and their food. I always have. He thinks that I'm going to keep everybody awake because I'm loud. But I put babies to sleep. I've had babies crying when I start preaching, sleeping when I get done. I don't know whether it's because of my soothing voice or whether it's because they just give up knowing they couldn't get louder than I was. I don't know which one it was, but anyway, they went to sleep. We like for children to be in the house of the Lord. We spent some time with Brother Kenneth recently in the Philippines. Had a good time with him a couple of years ago or so. I don't remember when now. 5 years ago. Well, you told me it wasn't 2 years ago. It was 5 years ago. We went to Nigeria together. But I have spent quite a bit of time with your pastor. I love him. I love his zeal for missions, his desire for the Word of God. We appreciate that. And we love his church, the things that his church stands for. I think that's probably the longest introduction I ever gave. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 13. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read verse 18. You can read what's in between. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Then down to verse 18, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Holy Father, we approach you at this portion of the service. We want to thank you and praise you for all your wonderful blessings that you've poured out upon us, for the privilege of being able to attend this conference this morning, to be able to hear the songs of Zion sung, the prayers offered up, and most especially, Father, the Word of God. It's been such a blessing to us to hear this morning about prayer, and at the same time it convicts us. Such a blessing to hear about how that you do all things well. Father, and what a comfort that is to know that. Such a blessing to hear about the Word of God, that it is the Word of God and it's not man's word. We thank you and praise you for that this morning. We find so much comfort in thy word. We just ask, Father, that you would be with us, guide us by thy Holy Spirit. I trust that Christ always, in any message that we ever preach, that he would always have the preeminence, because he alone is worthy of all the glory and honor and praise. I pray this morning that every saved individual here this morning would be blessed in thy word and have been blessed in thy word. And I pray, Father, that the lost would be saved. I pray, Father, that you continue on throughout this conference. Tomorrow, be with each speaker. Be with the church. Bless this church and pastor as they labor in this area for you, Lord. Be with all those who are traveling. I trust that you give each one of us all traveling mercies. I pray now that you'd forgive us of our sins before you. Help us always to be forgiving to those who trespass against us. In Jesus' precious and holy and righteous name I pray. Amen. Last verse, 4th chapter, 1 Corinthians, says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." We find a lot of comfort in the Word of God. I myself find a lot of comfort in knowing that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is imminent, knowing that He's coming again. And the reason I believe that it is imminent, because the Lord told us to watch. Told us to watch because we do not the day or the hour when He would return. So we are to watch. That makes me pre-trib, pre-mill, and I don't apologize for that, because I believe that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is nigh, even at the doors. I believe it is imminent. And to believe it is imminent, I must be pre-trib. I have to be. So we're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're comforted in that knowledge that He is coming again. It's a knowledge of the heart. It's not just a knowledge of the mind. We're convicted in our heart to know in our heart that Jesus Christ is coming. So it brings us a great deal of comfort as we consider that. And I like the way the Holy Spirit, through Paul, introduced this. He said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brother." We are not ignorant about a lot of things concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He could have simply told me, "Mark, I'm coming again," and I would have believed him. But he chose to open up some of the things concerning His blessed coming that we also take a lot of comfort in this morning. "I would not have you to be ignorant." The word ignorant just simply means not to know through lack of information or intelligence. "I would not have you to be ignorant." The Holy Spirit has enlightened us in many things concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there is a willful ignorance today. A willful ignorance. And brother, there's a lot of willful ignorance in religion today. In so-called Christianity, there's a lot of willful ignorance in Christianity today, so-called. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, he said, "For this they willingly are ignorant of." They willingly are ignorant of. things that God has told us in His Word would come to pass and has already come to pass, and people today still don't want to believe it. You hear people saying, I don't believe that there was a great flood as the Word of God tells us there it was, you know. Bill Riley, I heard him one evening on the news segment, and he said he didn't really believe in a literal flood. Well, he's willingly ignorant, because the Word of God says that God did send a flood upon all the earth, so he's willingly ignorant. There's people in religion today that believe, they say they believe in God, and yet they believe in evolution. Well, you can't believe in God and evolution at the same time. The two just do not mix. The Bible tells us Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you don't want to believe that, and you doubt that, and you're just willingly ignorant. That's all we can say about that. Willingly ignorant. There's people today that say we don't believe in election. I heard one person, preacher, tell me that he preached at the church one time, and when he come out after the service, he said two people from the church walked up to him and said, we don't want that word predestination used here. And he said, well, why don't you want it used here? It's in the Word of God. We don't like that word. They're willingly ignorant of what God has taught us about how He has elected us. He chose us. He predestinated us. He called us. He justified us. And He will glorify us. If you don't believe that, you're just willingly ignorant, because the Word of God makes it clear. It makes it plain what God has told us in His Word. We could spend a lot of time on that, but I want to get down here to what I want to talk about just a little bit this morning. Brother Kenneth said I didn't have to cut any of my message. That part I just told you I was going to cut. So I listened to him. I want you to know that it was a comfort. And it is a comfort to me to know that those saints which have died in Christ, and pardon my use of language because I'm not well educated, but they are alive and well. They're not alive on the same scale that I am. They were. They passed from this life, but they're not in limbo. They did not cease to exist. They did not cease to be. They are alive and well on a higher scale than what we are. They are with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart this morning. I cannot see them, but they are on a higher spiritual level. I will see them again. I will see them again. They are not in limbo. They're not soul sleeping, but they are in the presence of Almighty God. In my wording, they are alive and well, friends. I'm not a bit concerned for any saint of God who has passed from this life. They've just passed from me being able to see them. They're still alive and well. They're alive and well. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul said this, For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. And he had to be talking about departing from this life. Having a desire to depart and be what? And be with Christ. That doesn't indicate a non-existence. That doesn't indicate a soul sleeping. That doesn't indicate being in limbo. He had a desire to depart this life and be with Christ, which is far better. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, he said, we are confident, I like that word, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. What happens when the saint is absent from the body? And to be present with the Lord. I say by the authority of God's Word this afternoon that all those departed saints are with the Lord Jesus Christ right now. They're where He is at right now. The Bible tells us about the old thief hanging there up on the cross, and we can say a lot about what was going on there, what he was seeing, what he observed. But you know, after all of it was done, that old thief on the cross looked to the Lord Jesus Christ hanging there, hardly discernible as a man. And he looked upon him. Everybody else looked upon him as a defeated individual, as one who had failed in what he'd come to do. That old thief saw something else there. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What did Jesus say to him? He said, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, today, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Notice what he said. Today, with me in paradise. Anybody wants to argue with that can. But I'm not going to argue with the Holy Spirit on things like that, friends. We don't want to do that. We read about David. His sin that he committed. And I don't want to be the first one to cast a stone at David or Peter or any other one in the Word of God that God has given us as an example. David committed a terrible sin. God chastised him for it, brother. He chastised him for it. And Nathan came to him. When it was all over, he told him about the lamb. David said, "Surely the man that done this thing shall surely die." David pronounced his own judgment. Yeah. Right there. David thought he would die when Nathan said, "Thou art the man." Nathan said, in my own words, "Don't worry about it, David. God hath put away your sin." Do you know what he's actually saying? He's saying, "David, in place of you dying, your son's going to die." And that baby was sick, and David fasted and prayed and fasted as long as that baby was sick. But when the baby died and they told him, "David, the baby's dead," he got up, he washed himself, he went and worshipped, and he ate. And it amazed his servants, and they said, "We don't understand. When he was sick, you fasted and you prayed, but when he died, you got up, washed yourself, and you ceased fasting." David said this. He said, "But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." David wasn't talking about the grave. He wasn't saying, "I shall go to the grave with him." What he was talking about here was a personal contact with that child that had departed this life, that there'd be a personal contact again between him and David with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he was talking about. I preached this 1st of August message, and as I was preaching it, there was a lady sitting in the auditorium, Carolyn Patrick. Many of you know her. She's always been a good friend, faithful sister. Her husband, I loved him. He passed away when I'd been prepped for open heart surgery. Didn't even get to go to his funeral. But he was a great friend. I looked at her when I was preaching this, and I said, "Sister Carolyn," I said, "you see me here tonight, don't you? You hear me preaching, don't you?" "Oh yeah, yeah. I see you, I hear you preach." She didn't say that, but she nodded her head. She saw me. I could see her. I can see you here today. And I told her, I said, "Carolyn, just as real as it is right here for me looking at you and you looking at me, you hearing me preach." I said, "Carolyn, Bill and my dad may be right now talking to one another in glory. I said, it's real. I said, this is not a fantasy we're talking about. It is real. They're there. I think sometimes people don't realize the reality of heaven. I'm thankful. Now, it's comfort to me that God has not kept us ignorant. We're not ignorant as to where the saints of God are. We're not ignorant concerning the Lord's return. What a blessing it is to know that Jesus Christ is coming again. And what a comfort to know that those who have believed in Jesus will God bring with Him. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. That word sleep is a great comfort to me. There's a great expectation there. When I went to sleep last night, I've never slept good and I still don't sleep good, but I expect to awake. Most of the time, my wife and I will always kiss each other, tell each other we love each other, and that's happened all the time through the 47 years we've been married, except for the times that I've been away. And we go to sleep expecting to awake to see each other again another day. You see, a great expectation there. Well, the Holy Spirit tells us here, He said, I would not have you be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. It never speaks of the unsaved in those terms, but of the saved. Those who have died in Christ are asleep in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a great expectation there that we will be awakened out of that sleep. And I believe it's heaven pertaining to the body. Psalm 17 and 15, He said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That's what David had to say about the awakening of this old body after it has died. When Jesus comes back at resurrection, He will bring back with Him the spirits of those who are asleep in the grave, and they will be awakened in their glorified bodies. Asleep, they're going to be awakened. The great expectation here for the saints of God. You know, we many times in our ministry, we've buried friends, faithful church members. Sometimes I think that I've got more people over there than I got on this side. I've still got a lot of friends and saints on this side, but friends, there's a lot of them on the other side. But you know what? They will be awakened. The Scripture tells us here that for this we say, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Those spirits are going to come back and be reunited with that body. A death, a separation. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, He said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who give it. The body goes to the dust, the spirit returns to God. And then the Bible tells us in James 2:26, He says, for as a body without the spirit is dead, there is a separation at death between the body and the spirit. And that's what He's talking about bringing back with Him. Those that are asleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. those spirits that are with him right now. But you know what? At the resurrection, there's going to be a reuniting of the spirit and the body. A reuniting. And that body is going to be brought forth in a glorified state like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be fashioned like that of the Lord. I want to tell you something I believe, whether you believe it or not. That's sometimes we have beliefs that we hold on to sometimes. We don't always get agreement on. I don't look for agreement on the things I believe. I do want to base them upon the Word of God. The Bible tells us when the Lord Jesus Christ came forth from the grave, I believe actually he came forth from the grave. My belief is that he came forth from the grave before that stone was ever rolled away. It didn't have to be rolled away for him to come forth. I personally believe he came forth before the angel came down and rolled that stone away. I believe the Lord was already resurrected at that time. So that stone didn't have to be rolled away in order for the Lord Jesus Christ to come forth from the grave. I believe it was rolled away as a testimony that the words of the Lord were true. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again. He testified to all those unbelievers that he did come forth again. And I believe it'll be the same. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 52 and 53, he said, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. I believe these were first fruits. I believe these were fruits of the first resurrection. In other words, Christ, the first fruits, afterward, those that are Christ. But I believe these are part that he's talking about of the first resurrection. I believe the resurrection that the Lord, that I'm looking forward to right now, which is imminent, will be a part of the first resurrection. What a comfort it is for me to know. Sometimes I go up to the cemetery and I just sit and meditate for a little bit. Memories. I got memories. And we meditate. We think about the Lord coming. I've got my mother and dad are both there now. I've got one sister and three brothers who are there, who preceded me. And I'm next to the youngest one in the family. All three of them had made a profession of faith in Christ Jesus. One of them was 9 years old when he died. But you know what? As I sit there on that old bench and I look upon the graves of my loved ones, those who have died in Christ, I realize and know that as intimidating as those graves are, they will not hold them. One of these days, those old graves are going to burst open and they're going to come forth at the resurrection. Knowing, we know that death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our victory. He is our victory. I really believe that when the Lord comes, I believe the old graves of the saints are going to burst open. Those who have died in Christ, not because they need to burst open, but I believe it's going to be a testimony to the world that what we have preached and our fathers have preached, and their fathers have preached the Word of God, that it is true. It is true. Not ignorant. Not ignorant of what shall take place when He comes again. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15, He said, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." What if Jesus comes while I'm living? What will happen to me in relationship to those who are asleep in Jesus? Well, I'll tell you one thing. We will not prevent them or precede them. That's what that word means. We will not precede them. Our being alive is not going to hinder them coming forth, because the Scripture says they're going to come forth first. Notice what He says in verse 16. He said, "For thus saith the Lord," in verse 15, "this we say to you by the word of the Lord." There's no higher authority. No higher authority, the word of the Lord. What the Lord says, it's of the greatest authority. Our president can get up there day after day after day and talk for an hour and not say anything. He'd be better off just to keep his mouth shut. But even if he was a great president, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but even if he was a great president, God's word has authority over him. It has authority over the highest power. It's the greatest authority. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that them which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep." Why? Boys, I like verse 16. "For the Lord Himself..." You want me to quit, brother? "For the Lord Himself..." The Lord Himself. You know, you go back in the Scriptures and you find so many times when the Lord dealt with Sodom, He sent angels to Sodom. You can go back and read it if you want to. They testified themselves that they were sent to take care of this thing. Many times when the Lord is dealing with the wicked, He deals with them through angels. Even when it comes to the judgment, at that time, through angels. But brother, when He deals with His own people, He does it Himself. I love it. The Lord Himself. He's not going to send an angel to rapture me if I'm in the grave, or to change me if I'm alive. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In that one, the Lord Himself, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Those asleep in Christ will precede us, and then we shall be changed. We shall be changed. I'm 65 years old. Not old as far as years go, but a lot of problems in the flesh. But I'm thankful I can still go. I'm thankful I can still preach. I'm thankful the Lord has still given me a work to do. I don't know, but the way things are looking, you look at the Middle East, you look at what Russia's doing, you look at the things that's going on in the world today, and I wonder if I myself might not live to see the Lord Jesus Christ come. I might be one of those that are changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last time. 1 Corinthians 15:51, He says, "Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." In other words, we're not all going to pass from this life, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. Incorruptible. We go to the grave in corruption.
We are raised in incorruption. We're here in corruption. We'll be changed to an incorruptible body. I'm mortal now. I'll be changed into immortality.
I'll tell you, friends, if you don't have anything to rejoice over today, just think about the resurrection for a little bit. Think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about what He is going to do and what He is doing with us and for us right at this present time. It ought to make you shout a little bit. It's a comfort to know that those alive at His coming will not hinder or prevent the dead in Christ or precede them. What a comfort to know that Jesus is taking care of the rapture Himself. What a comfort to know that the living saints shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. What a comfort to know that we will join the dead in Christ in the air. Those that are asleep in Jesus, we're going to join them in the air and ascend up Savior. I fail of words. Bible tells us that the resurrection, when the Lord comes, it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. They, with all the technology that our government's got, they can't measure that speed. They can't measure that. It's not in a blink of an eye, it's in a twinkling of an eye. It's a speed that can't be measured. I mean, I'm sitting here now. You could be standing talking to an unsaved person when the Lord comes. You could be talking to him, carrying on a conversation. You'd be taken out so fast that unsaved individual wouldn't know what happened to you. They'd see you, you're gone. They don't know. They don't know what. They didn't see anything. It happened so fast. And yet, you know what? You know how you, I'm not a football fan. I know some of you are, and it's fine. I used to be a basketball fan, but I sort of got away from that. I couldn't tell you what team's ahead of what team or who star players are anymore. Makes a little difference to me. But you know what? They used to have, and they've got better equipment now, on a basketball game. If it was a close call and everybody was up in the air, they didn't know whether the ref had called it right or not, they would play that back in slow motion. And they could play it back in such slow motion that you could see whether this man tigged that other guy's hand or not. It ended the question. It took away any question about it. Do you know what? As far as the world is concerned, it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But as far as the righteous and the resurrection are concerned, it's going to be what I call in slow motion. I believe we'll rejoice and glorify God as we're brought up from earth to heaven to meet the Lord in the air. I believe we'll realize and rejoice in every little second of it, if I could put it that way. What a great comfort to know that Jesus Christ is coming again. I know if you're lost, it's not a comfort to you this morning. I understand that. But I know also this morning that you've heard a lot of preaching. First three messages was great messages. You've heard the Word of God preached. The Lord said it two times consecutively in John chapter 3. He said, "Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The second time he said it was the very next verse. And he said, whosoever believeth in him should have eternal life. Same Greek word used for both of them. So he said the same thing in two consecutive truth. Whosoever believeth in him, trust in him. Repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. But thank you, Brother Kenny, for being patient with us. I could just tell